Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Every Tuesday, we have the show open for public discussion on issues of concern in and out of the criminal justice arena. People are able to talk about any of their issues, any of the injustices they've experienced, whether it be them or whether it be a loved one. So please join us as everyone's voice matters. The call-in number is 657-383-1630. I'd also like to start off by wishing everyone a Happy New Year. We have been given the opportunity by a higher power to live for another year, and we are now in the year 2023. I expect a lot of things to be happening. There's going to be a lot of good. I believe a lot of miraculous things will be happening, as well as a lot of negative things. The thing is, we need to know that there is a higher power. And we need to know that that higher power has warned us from the very beginning to look for the signs of the times. Again, when the flood took place, it was told to Moses, it was told to Noah that there would never be a flood again. The world would not be destroyed by flood. However, he did say it would be by fire. We all know what's going on now in the world today with the fires in California that are always going, the global warming, which has caused so many tornadoes and hurricanes and floods and earthquakes, tsunamis. We've seen it all. And then, of course, we have to look at what's going on abroad with the war between Russia and Ukraine and all the nations coming together, taking sides for that great day. And we all know that everything today is nuclear weapons, chemical warfare. So are we going to let this new year go by as the last new year? With all this chaos that's been going on? Or are we going to try to start doing something about it? I know there's people around the country right now that are trying to bring people together in this country to do something nationally to make changes in the criminal justice system. We have to consider the mass incarcerations in the United States. It's outrageous. It's unnecessary. We are the only country in the entire world that has mass incarceration. 2.3 million people in prison. Why is the Department of Corrections around the country being funded so much money when we're not seeing rehabilitation? And if we are, we're seeing it among certain people. Is it who you know? Is it how much money you have? What's it all about? The reason for mass incarceration is because we have a criminal justice system. We have a penal system that has multitudes of wrongfully convicted, multitudes of first-time offenders, multitudes of victims who became offenders. No one looks at these victims who became offenders, but they stereotype all prisoners as though they're all hardcore criminals. And then we have the law enforcement. We have the correctional officers. We have the prison officials. What about them? It's so sad to know that there's so many people trying to do so much good, so many prison officials, so many correctional officers, so many police officers, trying to do so much good. And yet it takes the evil ones. It takes the corrupt police officers and correctional officers and officials. It takes the corrupt ones who could care less about their peers. Sure, they may shake their hands. They may joke with them. They may put on a good front. But they're only messing their peers up. How many innocent correctional officers, how many innocent police officers and prison officials have been beaten or murdered because of the bad ones that could care less even about their own peers. How many people are joining the penal system? Punks. They got out of school and decided to join law enforcement in the prisons to be the punks they were in school, to take their vengeance out on incarcerated individuals that have nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. I feel bad for the good police officers. I was listening to the news the other day when they were saying there's a shortage of police officers. They're ready to recruit dropouts out of high school as long as they have a GED. That's how desperate they are. Why? They're desperate because of the bad, corrupt, no good for nothing, ignorant police officers, correctional officers, prison officials, people out there that are putting on a good front, and the media is giving them pats on the back. These are some of the issues we need to talk about, because this is a new year and we have an opportunity to make changes. And the only way we're going to make these changes is if you, the people, we, the people, start doing something about it.
Amen. Now,
we all know about Juneteenth, and a lot of people around the country are talking about doing something on that month. And I am going to be recruiting people as well, and we're going to be talking more about that as time goes on. But for now, I'd like to welcome one of our guests, and would you like to state your name, please?
Dorothy Jean DeAgostino.
Dorothy, I'm glad to have you on. Dorothy, you are one of the advocates in this country right now that's been also trying to do a lot of good. And I'd like to have you talk a little bit about yourself and maybe some of the issues that we're dealing with, if you will.
I'd like to introduce myself, Dorothy Jean DeAgostino. I have a son incarcerated with Life Without Parole in Pennsylvania, and I live in South Carolina, but that does not mean I'm not fighting. I would like to have issues on medical, the food, the abuse of unjust situations. Life without parole is a death sentence, but not terminated as a death sentence. I want to change that completely. I believe in second chances, and I will work hard for second chances. Thank you for letting me voice my opinion.
Thank you, Dorothy. And you know, those are the very issues you just mentioned are issues that have been discussed and are even being discussed and considered at this time. I don't know if you have listened to Brian Winters, who was a former politician in Vermont, but Brian has started an American Union. It's called An American Union. And one of his causes is global warming, and another one is immigration, and another one is mass incarceration. And also Denise Caffell, who is with Society First, she founded Society First out of Florida, and they are also advocating for life without parole issues. They are actually advocating to abolish life without parole. We have coalitions in Massachusetts who are fighting right now for the abolition of life and life without parole, and also solitary confinement and restrictive housing, which is supposed to be abolished this year in 2023 in Massachusetts. So the issues you're talking about are very, very important. As you know, I've been interviewing Mariam Jacobs from the Netherlands, psychosocial therapist, and she will be on with us this Wednesday. But she has been talking about the comparison between America and the prison system in the European countries.
Yes,
We are the only country in the world that has mass incarceration, 2.3 million. The maximum sentence for the crime in other countries is 25 years, unless the individuals are serial killers or terrorists. We have an epidemic in this country that we always talk about, of mental illnesses and addictions. There are many, many, many people incarcerated because of mental illnesses or because of issues that they were dealing with, psychological issues they were dealing with prior to being incarcerated, prior to committing their crimes. So again, we've been talking about wrongful convictions, first-time offenders getting life and life without parole sentences, in some states, the death penalty. We're talking about victims who became offenders. We talk about a lot of these people incarcerated since their young adult ages.
Yes,
from under,
yes,
under 25. And these people committed their first offenses because many of them were violated as children. Many of them were from abusive homes, domestic violence, coming from the cities, the ghettos, with drug-infested parents or peers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much going on with that. I'm glad you brought that up, Dorothy, because this is something that really
Can I voice something about mental illness and drugs and alcohol?
Please.
I am very, very proud to say my son has been in for almost 26 years. He has never had any misconduct. He now is teaching drug and alcohol, and he got an award that is going to be going through the United States of his picture, what drugs does to a person's mind and body and how they react. He is in the program that he teaches at SCI Frackville in Frackville, Pennsylvania. He just had 30 inmates. I do not like to call them prisoners. They are human. They have a name. They're not a number. We have to realize in America that those are our loved ones. And I am proud to say Shane is in that direction, and he never had drugs, that they appointed him in this drug and alcohol program that he teaches.
I think that's wonderful. I really do. And those are the ones that they should consider putting in a transitional program, and a transitional program to transition from prison to community rather than life.
Amen.
Life without parole. These people that have been inside, that have been doing something, that have been given awards, they should consider them for a transitional program to transition out rather than stay in prison for the rest of their lives. We need to look at the rehabilitation that is not going on in the United States. We have to look at the rehabilitation that is needed for so many others that are not getting it. Go ahead,
Amen.
Dorothy.
Shane just got a diploma with high marks, A+, for criminal law and criminal justice. He was awarded and graduated from Brookside University Technical College with high standards. And I'm very proud of that. And he is working toward that. He's in a program. There is called the MODS. There is no bars whatsoever. And they have the cubicles. He calls it the hut. And that's only given to special people. And there's only 120 in this program of the MODS. We need this. We need them to realize it can be an adjustment and prove yourself the person you are.
You know, the thing is,
they need these programs.
They do. They absolutely do. And the thing is, again, there are so many prisoners, incarcerated individuals, I'm going to say, and you're right. We should not label them as inmates or prisoners, and we should give them the name that they rightfully deserve, and that is incarcerated individuals. And there are so many of them that have been in for so many years that have tried to take any kind of educational programs or work programs who have been denied. And that is the major issue that I am hoping that our legislative members will start looking into, because with the coalitions out there, even in Massachusetts and around the country, who are trying to abolish life and life without parole, these individuals, when they go up for parole, if they don't have anything to show for the years that they've been incarcerated, they won't even be looked at. And our legislative members need to look at these issues. Many advocates are fighting to abolish life and life without parole because they have loved ones inside themselves. And how positive is it for them, the advocates, to know that they're fighting to abolish life without parole and life sentences when their own loved one is not only serving a life as a victim who became an offender, but also as one that's being denied every opportunity to participate in educational and work programs. These are issues that need to be looked at. We also have
prisoners that have actually
called me and talked about how they have to rehabilitate themselves. Many have written their own books. Many have been doing their poetry, have people, advocates who have their poetry and their poetry and other things that they have done on the website. They have made special websites on their friend or loved one's behalf so that they can sell their books or they can sell their poetry and their pictures, their artwork. I wonder often, why is it that the Department of Corrections around the country, we're not seeing enough positive things going on. We hear about hunger strikes and we hear about riots, but does anybody look deep into find out what is causing these hunger strikes and riots? Now, Dorothy, you mentioned something about the food. If you can talk a little bit about that, because a lot of people have on Facebook.
I feel, Leona, you know I do fight for change, and I believe in it 100%. I may be 80 years old, but I will fight for my last breath. It is a shame that our loved ones get garbage and they have to buy off the commissary in order to eat. Sunday, that was supposed to be pork and sauerkraut. The pork, you could the hockey putt. It was so hard and everything. They served apple pie that was not cooked. It was half cooked. The food is horrible. They don't have the people to cook the food properly. My son, I make sure, even I do without, and send him money for commissary in order to eat properly. Other people don't have funds to send their loved ones, and they have to eat the garbage that is served to them. It is not fair.
You know, there was one woman she had posted one time on Facebook, her husband or boyfriend worked in the kitchen or whatever, and she was saying how he was talking about the food being left out on the counters for hours and days, mm-hmm. the maggots mm-hmm. that were in the food, all these things. And this is another major issue. I want to, just for a minute, Dorothy, I want to bring on another caller. And if you can please state your name. 810.
Oh, this is me. Hello, Leona. I've got your show from a mutual friend on Facebook. So this is my first time here. This is Luna Whispering Wolf. This is my first time here. I'm just listening.
Okay. Have you been listening to what we've been talking about, and do you have any feedback or any opinion on it?
Yeah, I have been, and I do agree with, the problem with mass incarceration. I believe our government has went a little overboard with that, but as we all know, especially with private prisons, it's a big business industry now, and without prisoners, they don't make money, is how I feel personally.
A lot of
innocent people, who are even innocent of the crimes that they are charged on, that we have known in the past and became aware of, that they end up being totally innocent of their charges. This shows that, this business of incarcerating people is a big business. I mean, it's a moneymaker. So, yeah, I agree. I had an uncle who was in prison for like 30 years. He's passed away now, but they did hell to him. I mean, They fed him rat poison while he was in there, while he was in segregation, you know, and he finally had gotten out, but by the time he got out, he was schizophrenia, had a lot of health problems and things like that, and we lost him to a massive heart attack. So it's, but, you know, he endured those health issues from being in prison for so long and being mistreated. So,
you know,
yeah, I totally. Excuse me?
Was he down south or north or east?
No, he was in, he was here in Michigan, in the Michigan state system.
Okay. I'm sorry to
hear that. I don't know if you two women are familiar with Sherry Sweeney, but Sherry Sweeney, she was the one that, and she went almost global with the Patrick Crusade. And Sherry Sweeney's husband, Patrick, was a police officer in Alabama, and he had exposed his peers. This was years ago. He had exposed his peers, and they set him up, so he ended up going to prison for life. And Sherry Sweeney was, she's well-known all over the world, really. But after his death, he had a massive heart attack. And after his death, Sherry moved back to her home, Kentucky. But she was very, very active and in the Patrick Crusade, and they helped a lot of people around the country who were incarcerated or loved ones had, were incarcerated. Also, Flo, she was the founder of People Against Prison Abuses, and she is on Facebook. But Flo was very active called PAPA, P-A-P-A, helping others.
Uh-huh.
But we have a history in this country, and people all over the world know about the United States of America and how they are focused mostly on retaliation, on vengeance, on greed, on corruption, on all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the prisons are so corrupt. But as I was saying, there's a lot of good police officers. There's a lot of good correctional officers and prison officials. But the problem is that the corrupt ones are the ones that are making it so difficult for the good ones. And if they cared at all for their peers, they would try to do the good that their decent correctional officers, prison officials, and police officers are doing, but they're not. It's almost as though they are punks that came out of high school right into the prison system or the communities to use their titles and their badges to harm people, to make more problems. There are more corrupt overseers in this country than there are criminals, as they say, in the prison system. And these are something that I'm hoping 2023 is going to change.
Let me make a statement concerning Savannah. There was a lieutenant, and my son respected him very, very much. He was just charged. They arrested him in SCI Frackville Prison. He was just charged for molesting children and other statements. He was a lieutenant at SCI Frackville for, I think, approximately, Shane said, 15 years. And Shane respected him, and Shane requires respect because he respects the people. But he said, Mommy, he was a wonderful person. And now the charges on him, he's in prison. And a lot of the correctional officers, and that is the second one in FCI Fracto that was charged with molesting young, I'm saying, children. So do we really know the background of our correctional officers that are around our loved ones?
No.
They do not have any thing for a correctional officer to have mental illness tests.
No oversight. There's no oversight, and this is what needs to be done. Our legislative members need to, as Families Against Mandatory Minimum, FAM, has been trying to encourage people all over the country. Contact your legislative members and have them start going into the prisons at least once or twice a year. Meet with the prisoners. Find out what's going on. Because there is no oversight. And as you mentioned, all of these things are occurring. And our legislative members talking about criminal justice reform have not a clue what goes on behind those walls.
You know, Leona, I would love, and if I had the opportunity to go and in a prison as a, what would I say, I would be, and serve a sentence without using my rightful name and go and check on the abuse undercover and report it and have a change. People need to know what our loved ones are going through.
Exactly.
And I would love to go in a prison. I'd even serve 90 days, whatever, to go and write and dictate what is going on and have a program that knows exactly what our loved ones go through.
You know, I back in, I think it was 2006, I actually trained with the DOC and under the as a mental health management under one of the contracted, at the time, the contracted agency that was there was good. I don't know why they got rid of them, but they...
Because they were good.
Yeah, exactly. And what I noticed when I was there is I went to drink from the fountain one time in the corridor, in the place, and they told me not to drink it. That was for the prisoners. They took me in a room where they had all this bottled water, clean water. And these are the things that people don't realize either. Loved ones are the individuals they're advocating for. What they're drinking and what the staff is drinking is two different things. Now, we heard about one prison, one area where the water was brown. They were being forced to drink that. I don't know, Dorothy, if you remember that or where it was, but one of those prisons,
yes,
they
do,
were being
forced. And 2 months ago, the water pipe broke, and it was brown and dirty and chemicals in it. I thought about it, and I got them to change the pipes in Fractal, Pennsylvania, and Manahoy. I mean, I fight hard. I don't care how much time it takes. I fight hard for everything.
I want to say, Dorothy,
yes,
you do.
Water.
And I want to say, with you doing what you're doing as one person, can you imagine if everybody
we need to get on a train.
Exactly.
And work together as a whole. Let us all work together, not one person, two people, a thousand persons working on these bills and these issues on the damn system that is corrupt.
Exactly. I liked what Leona said in the beginning, you know, because I've been having some personal stuff that's been going on with that too. Being Native American, I just had a really, I have a friend, a mutual friend with you, Leona, on Facebook. That, like I said, that's how I found this out. So I was, before your show started, I was looking through the past ones and I thought to myself, my point as I started off was your comment or your statement about everybody starting to unite, you know, and maybe this year can be a year that people try to inspire, encourage others to, you know, we don't all have to agree on something and we're not going to. That's just not going to happen. But if we can come to some kind of consensus of agree to disagree about something, but we're on the same path and wanting the, you know, solutions to all these problems that we have, not just in this country, but around the world, you know,
yes,
instead of putting each other down and, you know, really criticizing and personally attacking each other and bullshit like that, excuse my language, but it's just...
It is bullshit.
we're so tainted as a society that I don't see where we can go any lower than what we're at. The only way we have is up. We are, you know, as a society, and there is no empathy anymore. There is none. I cannot believe that as a whole, as human beings, that we have full empathy for each other. But if we can even get close to starting to mend that and unite, even though we, you know, dislike something about each other, don't like each other's color, culture, race, you know, political, religion, whatever, you know, because all these governments use are the really major issues anyway, and that's political, religion, gender, and your culture, you know. And they use those as race or as war tactics to divide us. And it, yes, you know, it's working. It has been for a very, very long time. But I'm hoping that this year people, especially after the epidemic, people will start to really realize to come together, because we're not going to get anything done or make any kind of changes until we do. Change
That's
comes
correct.
In numbers. And it only starts one person to start it, you know. And I'm not a perfect person, but, you know, I'm not the worst person in the world either. And, I mean, the end of 2022 really tested me. I was going through, Leona, some of your shows, past shows, to see what I was going to be into today. And I'm Native American, and I have just recently I won't mention any names, but was really shunned by one of my own, you know, one of my own people that I really try to help. You know, I've been an activist for over 20 years. And it really, even though it shouldn't, I mean, most people would say to hell with it. You know, I don't care what this person says about me, but for some reason it really struck to have one of my own Native people that I work so hard to try to unite our tribes and have us as one, shunned me. And I mean, literally publicly just persecuted me, and that hurt me so bad. And
I'm very sorry to hear that. My son is Native American.
Yeah, and I just, you know, there's so many topics and issues that we as a people need to be on top of, that there is really no time for that kind of stuff and being rude. And,
but, you know,
so
I'd like to say two things. First of all, usually when a year, 2022, ends bad, the new year, 2023, will be better or be perfect. And that's one of the things I'd like to say. Secondly, I'm going to tell you, Dorothy or you, one of you mentioned agree to disagree. Well, anybody that's a true advocate and anyone that's being sincere is going to understand that you're not going to agree with everybody and everyone's not going to agree with you. So we shouldn't have to worry about what people think about us. And I want to say this over and over again. Because years ago, I was very shy growing up. I mean, I wasn't shy. I was crazy. I was a happy-go-lucky.
No, you weren't.
But I was somewhat shy when it came to a lot of things. But as I got older, and I started going through all the different experiences, good and bad, that's what brings wisdom into us. That's what gives us the knowledge. Whenever we go through trials and tribulations, all it's doing is strengthening us, so that we can go to the next level. And so this is what I want everybody to realize. We can agree to disagree, but if we're interacting with sincere advocates like ourselves, then we're going to know the difference between those who are being sincere and those who are not. And everyone in Massachusetts don't like me because of my being open, and I tell it like it is. And other people have said that about me for years. But it's better to tell it like it is and be honest and lose friends or lose advocates, fellow advocates, than it is to put on a front. And I never will put on a front. I'm fighting for the the releases of incarcerated individuals. I'm fighting for abolishing the solitary confinement. I'm fighting to abolish life and life without parole and all the abuses and violations and everything going on in the prisons. So this is what we need to realize. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it. What we want are people's mind like we are. And what we are trying to let the audience know, we're trying to bring awareness to them and let them know they don't have to leave their houses to help us, to advocate, because
no.
This is what a lot of us do.
No.
That's it.
Right. There's some people out there that'll sit there and they'll put down people who are on social media and call you a keyboard warrior and this and that. I mean, I've been on both sides. I've been frontlined and you know, one of the biggest revolutions in Egypt, right on with my feet on the ground, you know, dodging gas, dodging tear gas, to, you know, being on my computer at night because, you know, somebody's life has just been taken by a police officer and consoling a mother. So I've been on both sides, but the thing is that, you know, being Native, you know, and a woman, I have an obligation to not just human beings, but I have an obligation to my children, my grandchildren, to do something. Now, you know, I'm not trying to make this show all about me, but I want you to know who I am. And once you figure out, maybe I can talk to you off the show, you know, and let you know what I'm speaking about.
I want to say real quickly, you said you don't want to make it all about you. This is going to be an episode. This is going to be an ongoing episode, what we're talking about. And this is exactly what people need to know. They know all about you. They need to know all about Dorothy. They need to know all about me. Because unless we know all about one another and everyone's culture, these problems are going to exist. They're going to continue.
Amen.
We need to know about culture.
Amen.
And that's the problem with all these wars going on in other countries. They don't know enough about the cultures of these countries. So, and they don't know enough about the cultures even of the incarcerated individuals behind those prison walls. We have to know. So
right.
Take your time. Talk about you. Talk of Dorothy. Talk about you and everything you've done, everything you've been through. This is how we're going to heal.
Leona,
yeah.
You know they hate me in Harrisburg. My name is Mud.
Yeah.
They know me when
well,
I call about situations. They know my name by heart.
This shows you're doing
and
something good.
I believe they have taken the culture of people out of prison, and they've taken the religion of out of the prison. My son is a Buddhist right now, and he was ordained Buddhism right now. He is a Native American, I will tell you that. And he even helps the men. I don't like the word inmate. I don't like the word prisoner. They are our loved ones. They're human. They forget about the number that is across their chest. They are human. And
exactly.
I will fight to my last breath for the rights of them. When I did the water situation in Brackville, I fought for 3 days on the phone and everything else until
God bless you.
I called the health department, I called everything, the water department, everything. And they got that water main fixed and the pipe within 2 days. And Shane said, Mommy, thank you. And the CEO said, okay, your mom's at it again. She got it done. They're not going to bathe black water. They are human. Treat them as human.
Right. I mean, if you walk into a prison and they tell you don't drink out of that faucet, here, have a bottle of water, then, yeah, there's something definitely wrong. I mean, that's not right at all, you know?
It is wrong.
It's not
people
right
don't
at all.
Know. People don't
and
know what the people go through inside.
Mm-mm.
The wall.
Oh, I've heard.
You know, we live in a very uneducated, when it comes to the penal system, we live in a very uneducated country. And this is why bringing awareness to the public is giving them an idea. And a lot of them now, because I'm seeing the shortage on law enforcement, a lot of them now have come to, and not only have they come to the conclusion that what they're hearing is true, but it's also because they themselves have experienced the brutality of the law enforcement. Now, Dorothy, this is what I was talking about, what you were talking about earlier today too, with the things that are going on. We have people who have, you mentioned race. There was a time when it was solely, mostly on race, on a racial issues with a lot of people in the community and behind the prison walls. But now we see it happening even with the Caucasian and other races in the streets by police officers.
Yes.
And then now people are starting to finally see what it's all about. They're starting to realize what's been talked about all these years. It's expanding out. It's like I don't know if I did some research one time and found that drugs started with, I think it was the Italian mafia, where they started the drugs to get all the people of color, the blacks, on drugs. But look what happened as a result. It expanded out, and it expanded out to all races. So sometimes all this injustice that's going on, it's affecting the minority population, but it's also now out there with others, with the Caucasians as well.
Right.
Have
you ever thought, you know, I was thinking about that, you know, from one of my personal stories, and I'll give you a testimony. I'm in remission from stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, thank God. You know, going through my chemo and stuff and being treated for my pain and stuff, I have gotten addicted to the pain medicine. I mean, now they prescribed me morphine and Vicodin, okay? I refused to take the morphine. Actually, I had to I had about maybe 25, 30 bottles of morphine. So I took all those, and I didn't want them in my house. You know, I have family members and I have grandkids, and I didn't want it just sitting in my house. But I wasn't refused to, the Vicodin was enough to control my pain, so I didn't need the morphine, even though I was prescribed it. And I kept telling the doctor this, you know, and he said, just take it, you know, in case, you know, have a hard day and you need it, whatever. So I bagged it all up and I took it to the police station and I let them know, I don't know what to do with this and I don't want it in my house and I'm not going to just put it in the trash. So getting back to what my point is that now I'm addicted to Vicodin, okay, because I had to take this, not because I'm a drug addict, because I had to take this medication to control my pain as I got through, you know, thank God, got through stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So now I'm to the point where I still have a little pain, but not enough to where I would need this medication constantly, but now my body needs it. You understand?
It craves it. It craves it.
Exactly. And I have tried. I did try to take myself off this medication. I was like, I'm done with this. I don't want to be dependent on him. I'm gonna stop taking it. And I made myself really sick. And I ended up in the ER. And they told me, do not try to, don't do that. We're gonna have to wean you off this. You can't just give yourself a heart.
You have
don't do that.
Wean off it gradually. So, you can't do it cold turkey.
So I'm thinking, as we're talking here and you all are talking about, you know, inmates being, you know, having drug problems and stuff like that. Could it be that they not have a drug problem when they go to prison but end up, because, you know, don't they medicate prisoners? I know they did my uncle, okay?
Honey,
started giving them different drugs and stuff and end up making them a drug addict. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
You know what I was going to say about that? My loved one has never taken drugs. Unfortunately, even when he's had surgery, he's suffered. But one of the things that was said by some prisoners around the country that I have worked with is that when they medicate a lot of these prisoners, they overly medicate them. These prisoners are walking around like zombies. and they're vulnerable at this point in time to others.
They can't function.
No.
When I have a video call with my son, it's at 7:30 to 7:45. Without exaggeration, and there's only 120 where he is in the mods, there is approximately 60 men in a line to get their medication. And I asked Shane, I said, where are they going? He said, Mom, they're getting medication and they're overdosing them control. And that is what happens.
Yeah, I can see that.
And they make K2 in the prison. And some of the correctional officers bring drugs in for them.
Oh, yeah. You know, I tell everyone, you can go on the internet and type in guards caught smuggling drugs into the prisons. It's all over the internet. You know, that's why I'm saying the people in society need to wake up. You know, they need to see these things. They need to stop thinking. DOC commissioners or wardens always say, they have to watch the families and friends bringing it in. Families and friends get examined. They get tested. When they go through
it
visiting.
Goes for a drug screen.
Exactly. So,
do you know, on Facebook, they are selling K2 stationery with K2 on it to send into your prisoners?
Mm-mm.
Are you aware of that, Leona?
No, I wasn't.
I just saw it. And I said, what the hell, excuse my French, heck is going on? I lived on an Indian reservation in Messina, brain cancer patient. And on the reservation, I learned so much. And you're right about morphine. I had to give her morphine. I was very careful with it, and the doctor said, well, don't stop giving it to her. You know, I started giving her butternut squash and things that the culture and everything on the Indian reservation that I learned, and I finally, her husband threw it down the sink. I was furious. He wanted her to die. And I called the pharmacist up, and I told him what happened. Do you know I had to get fingerprinted and everything else to get that woman? Her name was May, the most beautiful woman. She was Native American, 100%, and I lived on the Indian reservation. And I had to get fingerprinted, mugshot, and everything, like I was a drug user, in order to get her medication and morphine.
Mm.
Wow.
So I know all about drugs. I know all about it. And it is.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, you know, with my own personal story, you know, how they could do, and it's not just in the prison system either. If you think about it in a broad aspect, they do this to children who have ADHD. They do this to, you know, of course, people in the hospitals. They do this to people with, you know, people will bitch, moan, and complain about a drug problem, but the thing is that, you know, some people, like myself, you know, I didn't never want to be addicted to anything, but I had no choice. You know, it was either not take it at all and be in severe pain, or take it and let that relieve my pain a little bit, you know. And it just so happens that I ended up getting addicted to this drug, you know, and now here I am, an addict. You know, I hate to say it like that, but I am.
I want to say something about that, too. People that are addicted, a lot of times they think they're doing it for fun. There's a lot of people who became addicted, as you say, over medication by the physician, the doctors themselves. But also a lot of these people that are addicted to drugs are people who have had traumatic experiences happen to them throughout their lives, and they try to cover up with alcohol and drugs, and that's how they become addicted.
Self-medicating. Exactly. Yep.
And the next morning they wake up and the problem's still there, so they start up all over again. This is a sad situation too, because
people
we have that.
Do not, people do not know the mental situations. I mean, when they are young children, they can be molested. And that goes in your mind. I was raped by my sister's husband. I know how to deal with it. It's hard to deal with. But these men and these women, as we speak right now, there is an execution in Missouri for a transsexual woman. I don't know if you're aware of it.
I just heard about that yesterday or the day before. It's the first one ever.
They executed Amanda in Missouri, the first woman transsexual.
For what?
There's one in Texas that is a transsexual that is going to get the death penalty.
For what, though?
Murder.
Oh, okay.
I think she murdered a police officer. But what about the police officers that are so where they do rape and they get their hands slapped?
That's true. That's true.
It is sickening. It is sickening. I don't eye for an eye.
I want to say something about that. I helped a transgender years ago. Her name was Promethea. And I have to say, this girl, she was picked up by a truck driver hitchhiking. She was coming from Canada to the U.S. And she was picked up by a truck driver. And this happened at a truck stop. The truck driver, and I'm telling you, transgenders is very difficult because she was a twin. And her sister was born a female. She was born a female, but she had the male part. The truck driver picked her up, and he had his gun in his truck, and he tried to rape her. He was putting her in the back of the 18-wheeler when she grabbed his gun, and she shot him in the thigh, and then she ran out of the truck and ran. But they caught her. She ended up spending 14 years in prison, and this was in Iowa. They put her in a female prison, and 3 months later they realized that she had that male part. They put her in a male prison where she had been raped by so many gang members, individual prisoners, guards, everything. Priya had to go in the, Prison Rape Elimination Act. Priya is an agent. An agency that goes into the prisons to investigate rapes and things like that. But when she was getting out, I worked with the counselor to have her sent to Massachusetts so I could help her. But the thing is, when they got the results, and I had all the paperwork, her history, and what happened is this girl, she had been raped by 800. She was bleeding profusely, even after coming out. I took her to one of the hospitals in Boston to have her examined. And when the doctor tried to examine her, she was in so much pain. You know, it was almost like they had to stop. But she ended up...
They ripped her inside.
Exactly. But I felt so bad because she ended up going to California. She said she wanted to be around others like herself so she could fit in. But anyway, I heard the other day I think it was one of the news stations, with another transgender, this was years ago, but this was recent. Another transgender had been raped by over 2,000 times while incarcerated. And I said, I don't know what's wrong with our government that they cannot do something about it. Because even though some people don't realize,
LGBTQ?
Lesbians, they don't know anything about them. And again, this is why I say culture is very important. Because one of the things we have to realize, even from the very beginning of the Bible, incest was there. Because who was there? Adam and Eve. Their kids married their own siblings. So this is naturally, it's going to happen. There may be a lot of people out in the communities who are faking it. But we have to look at the ones that are really, really sincerely have to feel like they may look one way, but they have to feel the other way. And instead of judging them, we need to move on. We need to move on.
We need to help.
We help them, let them do their own thing, because we all have our own issues that we need to deal with. We need to focus on our own sin, not the sins of others. And that's why I say it's very sad that the people in society would judge prisoners. They don't know what these prisoners went through, what they went through when they were growing up, what they're going through now. They don't know anything, but yet they judge.
Leona.
The country needs to look at these
things. Well, and I mean, just because they're incarcerated does not take away the fact that they are a human being.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
They are
human beings, and they matter regardless whether they're behind them bars here in society. And so, if they're going to sit there, put them through a court system, and you know, charge them and order them to be incarcerated for however long they decide, then that gives them the responsibility to make sure those human beings are taken care of. Because like you said, they are a number. They're a number to a system that has to use it, but in reality, they are human beings. Nobody
well, my
perfect.
Son is, there's 30 transgenders, and they are having a hard time.
Then my question would be, and you know, I am totally, this is totally out of my expertise as far as the prison system goes, but my question would be then, is that if these people make so much money having these people incarcerated, okay, the private prisons and the public ones, then why are they not, you know, not accommodating a criminal? If they did something wrong, you know, what you do, like anybody else, you fess up, you take your punishment, and that's it. And you move on and try to, you know, rectify and better yourself. Some
well, you
people
know
will,
the government.
Some people won't. But
the government
if
provides
put them in these
harm
places,
and
then why don't they accommodate so that at least they're safe? You know?
They ought to be put in a place where they're all the same. And
exactly.
FBI
Factual
has 30 transgenders. They are given their hormone shots and everything else free, where I have to pay a copay for my son to go to the doctor. But they get it free. $500 a month for every transgender. They get it free. And it needs to stop with where the money is going. We don't know. They hide it.
That's it. Where is the funding going? Where are the taxpayers' dollars going in the penal system? Where is
exactly.
it going? No, the rehabilitation is just not there. And yet people are still, if we're on a strike and do not put taxes into the penal system, and made it mandatory that we're not going to be paying our taxpayers into the system until, you know, what they need to do is they need to start putting money into those where they're seeing progress, where they're seeing, you know, something positive happening. This is what we need to start doing. We need to start funding these organizations on the outside of the prisons, these organizations that are trying to help the incarcerated. We need to put the funding into that. And put less funding into the penal system. That petition I started to abolish life without parole and life sentencing in Massachusetts, we need to stop. We need to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities. And that's where everybody
Amen.
Should come to. Replace prisons.
Right. I mean, look at all these abandoned hospitals, abandoned companies that aren't,
Everything.
You know, in existence anymore. And
abandoned
are just sitting there. And here we have,
close up.
You know, here we have 3 million people incarcerated, you know, and living, you know, drinking dirty-ass water, okay, and homeless people laying out on the street. But here all these empty buildings are, you know.
It has to be corrected. And what is your name, the Native American lady?
My native name is Luna Whispering Wolf. I come from two tribes. I come from the Sheikah tribe, and I also come from Cherokee Nation.
My
Luna.
Son is Okoy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'd like to say something real quick, and I would like to, and one of the things, I got something. I'm reading it now. And it says, hello, Ms. Brando. If I understand correctly, I think that it's great that you're working to end life without parole. I'm with you on that, as are many of the people associated with our organization. I'm not sure that being the case, that we have a lot to discuss. If you disagree, please let me know. As our country's law currently reads, I suspect we'll have to do away with the barbaric penalties one at a time. I believe every state that has a death penalty currently uses life without parole as the backstop in the event
Amen.
The jury refuses to go for death. That being so, I'm of the opinion that eliminating the death penalty, stopping the killing, is the first step. Meanwhile, I wish you well in your pursuit, and once we stop the killing, I'll be glad to lend you a hand. Now, I understand what he's saying, and I totally agree with him. However, what I'm trying to do is not only do away with LWOP, life without parole, but I'm trying to do away with everything. Because as I said, I bring Marion Jacobs from the Netherlands on every Wednesday or every other Wednesday to talk about the comparison between the prisons in other countries compared to mass incarceration in this country. No other country
doesn't have the death penalty, does it?
Right, nor do they have life sentences. Unless, again, it's terrorists or serial killers. So I would love to have the president of the Death Penalty Foundation, I would love to have him come on the show so that we can talk about these things, because I agree with them, but both life sentences and death penalties have to be eliminated. So I'm inviting the president of the Death Penalty Focus to come on the show anytime he wants, because we need him as well to stop this barbaric sentencing of life without parole and death sentencing. We don't need any of it. And this is how we can spend 2023 coming together to do something about it.
Amen. Leona.
Right. And, you know, I'd like to make a statement on that, because, you know, I don't work with people, or have not worked with people, other than, you know, my uncle being in prison and that personal experience there from him.
Get started.
But
I do
and have worked with people. I work on the other spectrum of trying to prevent, you know, our younger people from even going in there. And I also have dealt with a lot of police brutality where they have killed, you know, issues. So I'm wondering, with the death penalty or I don't understand why there is a death penalty or a life sentence, because you get a lot of the youth now, and this is why you end up having a lot of youth that are being killed by police officers, is because, you know, we're to a society now with our youth where, you know, if they're out there on the streets and they're dealing with street stuff, you know what I'm saying? They'd rather be dead than go to prison. So if I'm going to jack something up, I'm going to do it good. You know what I'm saying? Their own suicide.
You know what's happening? These kids in the streets, everybody blames these kids. And I have to say something about this, too.
It starts with the parents.
Thank you. Not only the parents, but also the schools. I remember years ago, teachers used to discourage some students. Letting them know you should just drop out of school because you're not going to do anything. Teachers used to say that.
Yep.
But I'm going to say, too, the pastors
and they call
the priests,
them dumb, that they don't have anything.
The pastors and priests, the a lot of these people in have their organizations out there. They should be out in the streets. They should be trying to work with these kids. I heard a pastor on the news one time talk about this young thug when they were talking about some kids that had done something. The pastor, this is a person supposed to be of God, talking about these young thugs out in the streets. I have no use for any pastor, priest, imam, rabbi, or anybody
that
talks about these young kids as punks when they could be out in the streets themselves helping these young kids. They're so busy trying
to
make themselves with their top hats and their suits, and they're trying to be so big and big shots and everything, they have forgotten what it's like to be out in those streets. Those kids need them. They don't need to be calling these kids thugs, nor do they need to be calling these people in prison hardcore criminals when they know nothing about them. This is where culture is a major issue in this country. And I'll tell you, there's so many people in this country that have they have such an insecure internal being that they feel they have to go with the multitude to judge others, to prevent others from being rehabilitated. And a lot of these people in politics, they always want to do the good things because they know the people are going to love them for doing the good thing. They're the ones that take on the hardcore jobs, the going against the penal system, going against law enforcement, doing all these things to try to bring awareness and try to help those that are being affected by the corruption and the abuses and the violations and the substances. Those are the ones I respect. Politicians that will take a chance and do what they know is right.
Leona, I am getting with touch with Senator Fetterman in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to try to be working with him about a lot of the issues in the system. And he will be senator initiated, I think, the 15th of January. But I will be emailing him, and a friend of mine that is in politics is helping me get to the right person all the time.
That's good, because that's what's happening right now. A lot of people that I've been networking with outside of Massachusetts, unfortunately, not everybody in Massachusetts agrees, or, as you said, agrees to disagree with me, but they turn around and want to try to distance themselves and anyone else they can from me. But my focus has been on national for years, for the last 20 years, doing national work and also networking with people around the country. But one of the things is you're doing the right thing. In Massachusetts, the ones that are working on criminal justice reform, and I highly respect them, is Senator Jamie Eldridge and State Rep Liz Miranda and State Rep Mary Keefe and Sonia Chang Diaz, the senator, and Senator William Browns, who I admire, because they're doing some very good things. Another one is State Rep Russell Holmes. Another one is, I can't pronounce her last name, but they say Representative Nikki Elugado. And Representative Carlos Gonzalez, State Representative Ruth Balzer, they're all ACON, State Representative ACON, State Representative Frank Moran. These are people that
are
working.
Are they all in Massachusetts, Leona?
Yes, they're in Massachusetts. This is what I've been trying to let people know is in other states to please contact State Rep, get a list of the names, the addresses, email, the phone numbers, and let's start sharing them so that everybody can start making calls to these people in all of these states, these legislative members.
Do you want me to get a list and send it to you?
If you can, that would be awesome. Or just get that list and post it on Facebook. Whatever we can do, because this year, 2023, if everyone in every state can do something on a national level, let's share this information, the contact information. And
I will get the state representatives in Florida and Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and so forth. And I will give you the background and their emails and their telephone numbers.
That'll be great.
Leona, I gave you a friend's request on Facebook. If you look at that, look at the first name, but look at the name underneath, and you'll know who I am. If you email me the information, and can you email me some of the information, and I will try to share here in Michigan what you shared.
Okay,
would you get my email address and send a friend's request also?
I don't know your Facebook. Hold on, my dogs are barking. Hold on.
How
long do we have to talk?
We still have about 19 minutes.
Okay.
And Luna.
Yes, I'm sorry. I muted myself because my dogs were going wild.
Okay. Are you familiar with Jibril and Hakeem and also Chinupu Guhamani?
Yes, I am.
Bernice?
I will talk to you off of air about that, but that's
okay,
kind of what
I
was
know,
referring to earlier.
Yeah, I know. Chinupu, I know. But anyway, but these are other organizations and people that are, again, Denise Caffo too with Society First. I really think that if, and I'll give you that information, Society First is out of Florida. And Denise Caffo is the CEO. And Society-First, it's a criminal justice reform organization. And her number is, phone number is 803-704-4766. You can listen to the show again later and get the number. But it's Society.
Okay, repeat that number. I got it.
Pardon?
Repeat that number, Leona.
It's 803-704-4766. Her name is Denise Caffo, C-A-F-F-O.
What is her last name?
C-A-F-F-O, Caffo.
Caffo.
Denise.
There's
also
the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition.
Okay.
And that number is 407.
I will give her a call.
The Florida Rights Restoration Coalition is 407-901-3749. Anyone that wants to get the number, they can always go back, play this over again later, and just click on the picture, and it'll bring them to the radio show.
Right.
Leona, will you
I always make sure I put down the minute marker for later reference, so just the FYI to everybody.
Will
you give that lady my email address so we can have a friend request?
Yes, Luna.
I work on a different spectrum, and I will explain that to you both off air. But I'd love to help. I work more into culture and the prevention of having our youth and stuff, even going into the system. But it is very beneficial for me to have people like you both, like you two ladies, who are very familiar of what goes on inside, you know what I'm saying, and the problems, because
Would you like to have my telephone number so you can call me?
Sure, hon, but I'll do that off air unless
you
don't mind giving it to the public.
I would like to do it off the air.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Sure.
And I was going to say you can put it on my email message it to me and I can exchange it, or you can get together somehow.
I'll message you. Because I'm on my phone on the show, of course, but I will message you right now so you know who I am.
Okay. We're going to make this year a year. We're going to progress somehow. We're going to do it. And other people are working on it, too. So hopefully we'll be able to get a national thing.
There needs to be so much unity, that's the only way. I mean, like I said, different cultures, different religions, different political views, as long as we can agree to disagree but stay on the same path for the same solutions from all the topics that we need, we need a big kiva on all spectrums. We need a big kiva. That's what we need.
And this is why a
united kiva.
Exactly.
I enjoy talking to
everyone.
Pardon? I wanted to say too, NAMI. We want to try to get NAMI to work with us on this too. So if everyone can also call the National Alliance on the Mentally Ill, NAMI, and they have a Virginia address and phone number of 703-524 7600.
And what is that, NEOMI?
National Alliance. What is that? The National Alliance on the Mentally Ill, NAMI, is an organization.
Okay.
It works. They work with a lot of families of the mentally ill, but they work with various agencies and organizations that that have mental illness or mental organizations that are working on these types of things. Families, friends, and
yes.
individuals of the mentally ill with Donna Winnett. I have interviewed Donna a few times, and Donna is actively working as well because she has a son that's in a hospital, a mental hospital. Donna's very active as well, and so she would be another one you might want to connect with, and I will I'll have her on the show again.
I don't like to hear them specified as mental problems. I always say special needs.
That's it. Special needs. But unfortunately,
don't give them
don't
the title of
I think after what's been going on for the past 4 years with this epidemic and everything, that there is not one person in this world that can say that they don't have some kind of challenge right now mentally.
Mm-hmm.
If you have some kind of PTSD, I don't know what kind of person you would be because we've all been challenged, every one of us.
I want to talk about that too, the PTSD. You know, a lot of these people incarcerated that I know personally are suffering from PTSD are being labeled when they get their evaluations as being having antisocial behavior. This is another thing mm-hmm. I want everybody to know about, because it's not just the military that come back with PTSD. It's people incarcerated that have been through traumatic, very traumatic experiences as children that end up with PTSD. When they go into the prison, they know if they evaluate them and they diagnose them in their right diagnosis as PTSD, prisoners around the country they're going to be getting out sooner because they're not in there because of just wanting to commit a crime. No child is born with the intention of committing crimes. So most prisoners, I want everybody to start looking at this too. Most prisoners, when they're diagnosed with antisocial behavior, you want to check that out to see the number of prisoners, people incarcerated being diagnosed with antisocial behavior rather than PTSD.
That goes back to what I said about them being able to prescribe the drugs to the inmates. Because if they can sit there and say, oh, okay, well, this person has some kind of challenge mentally and they've got PTSD, let's start prescribing them this narcotic or that narcotic. And there you go. That's the very first start of somebody getting addicted to drugs. Because the kind of drugs that are prescribed for PTSD are, narcotics sometimes.
Yes, Percocet and things like that are addictive.
Or Adderall, stuff like that. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Ritalin. These kinds of narcotics that are addicting and set inmate up for if they're going to be released, they come out a drug addict. You know what I'm saying?
That's correct.
The person could have never even thought about doing any kind of drugs or drinking or anything. But they go into prison, get diagnosed with whatever these people want to diagnose them with, and bam, you've got a drug addict released. I hate to say it that way, but that's the way it is.
Which brings me to another thing now. This is why we need to get the Department of Mental Health and we need to get the American Psychological Association to start working on these issues as well. Donna Winnett has been on the show. She is talking about, and her group have been talking about trying to get DMH involved. Now, the Department of Mental Health and the American Psychological Association, of all people, know what causes people to commit crimes when they have psychological issues. Yet I contacted the American Psychological Association about almost a year ago, and they were going to have someone get back to me. I asked if someone from the American Psychological Association would be willing to come on to talk about some of these issues, and they never got back to me. Donna Winnett has been trying to get the Department of Mental Health also to start going into the prisons or come on. So we need to start making calls to the Department of Mental Health and also to the American Psychological Association. What we can do is get the contact information for both those agencies and start making calls to them. Because if they're going to be having an organization that deals with the mentally ill, then they also need to be a part of what's going on behind the prison walls.
Yes.
Right.
I will.
The other lady's name who's with us?
Dorothy?
Dorothy Jean. Dorothy, now you said your son is incarcerated, correct?
Yes.
Is there any way that you can speak with him and ask him, because he's there, ask him what it is like for a person in there who may get, you know, diagnosed with this, and what the protocols would be and how much they do it. You know what I'm saying? And
my son,
we can
in
get
a program.
Inside information. If we can get some inside information like that, then
I will do it. My son is in a program for that, for drugs and alcohol, and he teaches it.
Could he write an email explaining to us what the protocols and the statistics of this is, and we could get that evidence and then call these people, you know, maybe even make a petition and bring this to the public and let them know, look, you know,
I will do that.
Help people who are already in the prison system. If we're going to help those
right.
who are coming out, then we need to you know, protect them. And because what if you have an inmate who's in prison for, say, so many years, okay, and they're on this
mm-hmm.
medication, and then they're let out, or one, they're an addict, and then they don't have any way to pay for the medication that the system has gotten them addicted to.
That's why the high recidivism rate in the United States. That's why the high
exactly.
recidivism. And I want to say also, in Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, 36 states in the United States of America, the prison medical provider is WellPath. WellPath's president has been up on all kinds of charges for bribery and everything else. It's on the internet. WellPath founder. But that's not the only thing. There's been over 1,000 lawsuits filed against WellPath. And so this is another thing that we need to focus on. Are these prisoners being treated by professional, experienced, sincere
no.
medical providers and psychological? No. And so this is why we need to on getting
they have
rid of
PAs that do not have any license that
exactly.
are doing this.
That's
exactly.
sad. That is not right at all.
They have surgeons
that
working on prisoners that don't have any licenses or experience in the areas that they've been working on the prisoners. They permanently damaged a lot of prisoners, a lot of people incarcerated, permanently damaged mentally and physically, permanently damaged
yes.
because of the contracted
yes.
agencies in the Department of Corrections in those 36 states, including Massachusetts and Pennsylvania.
I know all about Leona. You can give this sweet lady my information. You know how I work.
I will. And we have about 5 minutes.
And
so
I'm just, you know, it kind of, I don't mean to be rude or nothing, but I'm a cultural person. I'm Native American. And to hear that your son is Native American and you know, he's in this system that is treating him, you know, treating our people so bad for so many years. And then he's in this place to where, you know, not only him, but human beings are being treated like they're not human beings, and that's not right.
They're being treated like animals.
Somebody doing something wrong, that's fine. But don't treat them less than you know, a piece of dirt on the street. They would pee. You know, if a dog got hit,
they are not animals. They're human.
Exactly.
And even if they were an animal, they would treat an animal better than they would some of these people, from what I'm hearing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not right, and it needs to stop.
And this is why we want this year, be a year of action, not just talk, but action.
Exactly.
And I'm hoping that the people listening in will start doing something.
No more bullshit. We need to be work together and be a team.
Exactly. I want to thank both
of
you.
That's my son calling.
I want to thank both of you for coming on. And if Shane wants to say anything before the end of the show, or we'll congratulate him for what he's done. But Luna, I want to let you know something else too in the audience. This land was first operated and run with the Indians, the native tribes that took over, that had this land, and they kept it up so nice. They protected the land, and they were invaded, and the land was taken from them. But I want to let you know that throughout the years being in the United States, all of these people that have been living in the United States, many of them have interracially married. Many of them have married Native Indians. So they have not only have their own races or their own cultures, but they also have the race of and the cultures of the Native Indians. So let's try to protect the land. Audience, I want everybody to know this. Let's try to protect the land. Many people have gone on Ancestry.com and done their genealogies and found out that they have Native Indian in them. So have respect. Just like there has been other minority races that have interracially married with the Caucasian race, there's a lot of people that don't even know their cultures, and yet they might hate another culture because they don't know, because they're not aware. So let's start uniting, coming together to work on these issues in the United States of America of racism, of corruption,
right,
of greed, of hatred for whatever, of vengeance, retaliation. Let's come together and try to make 2023 the year that everything is going to start coming together for once and for all. And I want to thank you for coming on, Luna. I want to thank Dorothy. And if there's anything either of you want to say before we close, please do.
I would just like to close and thank you all. You know, I'm so glad. You know, I feel that things are done for a reason, and I'm here for a reason. So I enjoyed being here and talking with you all as a Native American, and just, you know, commenting on what you just said. Yes, Native Americans were here first, and I do understand, you know, we are considered the first indigenous people of these lands. But we have many, many tribes that have different beliefs. My belief, and this is Luna Whispering Wolf stating this as a Native American, we do not own any land. We do not own and never have owned any land. We belong to the land. The land owns us. And yes, we do need to make a drastic change and start taking care of Mother Earth, because without her, none of us are going to be here. In unity as human beings. As human beings.
You know, I'm glad what you said, because the way the land has been treated and what's happening right now, if we don't get it together, we always come together when there's a major crisis. If we had a war in the U.S. right now, everybody would be uniting. So let's try to reunite, to unite on this event of 2023 to start making positive changes. Let's try to unite to make sure that we have a penal system that is in sync with other countries. Other countries have a maximum of 25 years for any crime. We have life without parole, the death penalty. Other countries are doing the rehabilitation with their incarcerated. We are doing absolutely nothing to rehabilitate our incarcerated. So I thank you, women, for coming on, and I hope you'll be on next Tuesday as we continue with this episode that we are talking about, of the injustices in the United States. Thank you so much, Luna. Thank you so much, Dorothy. And I look
thank
forward
you.
To it. And please, audience, be with us tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 o'clock our time, Eastern time. Marion Jacobs will be coming on, again, psychosocial therapist from the Netherlands, to talk about some important issues that have recently occurred. Thank you so much. And we are now going to end this episode. Thank you.